But you need to switch over and call this number. If you took time to go ahead and switch over and call this number.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be
changed. What will you do for God in the new year, 2024, demonstrating your love for him? Let's go here to Casserole. Can you hear me? Casserole? All right, perhaps he's not on the line. All right, we're going to go to our focus.
Can you hear me, Dr. Walker?
Let's have a word of prayer. We're going to ask for a volunteer to invite God's presence into our program tonight. Would someone like to volunteer?
Yes, this is Candlestick. I will pray.
All right, thank you, Candlestick.
Oh, my kind and gracious Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we are so thankful. So thankful to see another day. We're thankful, dear Lord, to be here on this Friday evening to lift up just your name and to discuss what the facility will have on the table. I'm asking that you will be with those who are yet to join, be with those who are on the line. And I pray, dear Lord, that as you leave this conversation tonight, we will leave as changed people, leaving better than we were than before we came on. Bless us and keep us in your Son's name, Father, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. What a beautiful prayer. So, thank you all for joining us on this platform. This looks like this is going to be our new platform that we're going to be on. So we certainly do appreciate that. If you're calling on the Blog Talk number, we're going to ask that you call the other number. The number is the 1-520-525-8883. Once again, that's 1-520-525-8883. Mr.
Walker, I thought it was
882. No, 883. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, hold on. It is 2. Thank you. Ms. J, thank you for that. Thank you very much. It is. I'm looking at people on Blog Talk as well. Pastor Roll, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, I was on the old number, not the 520-525-8882, but you can hear me. I used the old number.
All right, that's fine. We got both platforms up until the old platform may go out, but we'll be communicating on both platforms. We also have some others on that old platform. If it goes out, please dial the 1-520-525-8882. Thank you for that, Ms. Jay. So tonight's topic is, what will you do for God in the new year, 2024, demonstrating your love for him? And let me go ahead and start with, and welcome Ms. Jay. Ms. Jay, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you, as always.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be on. I'm glad we got a voice that we can talk over. I heard this today.
Someone
opened the door and said, okay. And just like that, Jesus is gone until next year. But Jesus is still here with gifts that never end. I thought that was beautiful.
That is beautiful. Read it one more time, Ms. Jay.
He said, and just like that, Jesus is gone until next year. But Jesus is still here with gifts that never end.
You know, I wouldn't mind if you read that on all of our shows that you're available when you're on, because we can always be reminded that no matter what we're dealing with, even if we're expecting gifts or we just need love, which all of us do, And that's a reminder that God is, Santa is gone, you know, but God is always here. Thank you for sharing that with us. You want to go ahead and give the disclaimer as well?
Okay, I can. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. is the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which makes this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show, any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows, are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The show intent is not to push any denominations, religions, or traditions, but to share knowledge and experience with no offensive or negative tone. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you and enjoy the program tonight.
All right. Thank you so very much for that. As we go through tonight's topic, if at any point in time anyone would like to, we're not certain. We're still learning this new platform. If anyone would like to comment, just go ahead and say, you know, identify yourself and then comment. For those of you all that we don't, that are not normally part of our co-hosting, let's go ahead and welcome Sir Ben. Sir Ben, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you.
Good evening. Good evening. Happy Friday to everybody. So I'm happy to be on the show.
All right. Candlesticks is welcoming you once again.
Good evening, everyone. And it is a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. Did I miss anyone? If I did, just identify yourself, please.
Yes, Marilyn Malloy.
Ms. Malloy, thank you for joining us.
Good evening.
Good to have you with us. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else? All right. Okay, we'll go with this here. We assume that the rest of you all are just listening in. Let me start with you, Ms. Malloy. What is it that you plan to do for God, if anything, in the new year? I mean, it's like a cliche, you know, I'm going to do this here for God. And we're not asking people who sort of set New Year's resolutions, but just something that perhaps you've been thinking about that you may have even already started. What, if anything?
Wow. Good evening. For me, for the new year, one of the biggest challenges I have is getting people involved with the homeless community. So starting on January, I think the last Saturday in a month, the 27th, if I'm correct, I'll have my first time with youth who have never been out on the street and having them go out to feed the homeless. This, I know that sounds kind of cliche, but they've never done it. There are a lot of young people who have never had that experience. And on the back of the shirt, it's saying, ask me about John 3:16. And on the front of the shirts, it says, I pray. So that's what we have this year, not feeding them, but giving them tools and little Bibles. We're still trying to get more Bibles, but it's only like 16 bags that we have, but it's their first time. So that's the one of the biggest pushes I have this year is to be more active and reaching the outcasts and those people who feel that they're alone.
Okay, that is beautiful. Go ahead. Continue, please.
That's it. That's about it.
Okay, so Ms. Malloy is our speaker for tomorrow morning. Is that right? We'll be on this platform.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So when you say feed the homeless, are you talking about food or are you talking about equipment, like, you know, tools, Bibles?
Supplies for women, for sanitary supplies, toothbrushes, hair combs, socks. I really have them. Socks. It's not food that we're giving them. It's supplies and tools and the Word of God. The last time my son and I went out, and he loves to go out to speak with the homeless, one of the gentlemen said, do you have a Bible?
And my son said, okay, we'll be back. We didn't find them. So the thing is to have the little Bibles. We have one that's really very complete, an entire Bible, not half of a Bible. So when we go out, we leave something behind, something that they can use, toothbrushes, toothpaste, things that they need, socks, underwear. So that's what we're doing this season.
Oh, how beautiful. And how often do you all plan to do that?
Well, my goal is to have the youth do it once a month. So this is the first major push for the beginning of the year. And if we can do it once a month, that's what I like to do with them, just because a lot of them are in school. But they've all committed in January 20. I believe it's January 27th. So I'm off, forgive me. But, yeah.
Okay, excellent. These are some of the things that we are doing as well. We went out twice in the month of December. We were out once in November for Thanksgiving, and we did 50 bags in December. And I'll just tell you, those of you all who are listening online tonight, that's one of the most fulfilling things that I've ever enjoyed. It was a very cold day. I went out with another organization. It was a very cold day, and God just kept me warm for some reason. And even the young men that were with us that did the passing out of the bags, they were freezing. But for some reason, even the other minister that was there with me, everybody was freezing. But I was just like, my blood was running so warm that I was just so excited. I think that's what it was, the joy. For the first time being down there to pass out things in downtown Atlanta. And I discovered so many things. So that is very commendable of you. And we're going to continue that. Sparkles is not with us tonight, but she would have been going over some of that. But that is very commendable of what you're doing. Let's go to Miss J now. Miss J, what, if anything, you're planning to do for God in the new year? Or perhaps you're already doing something.
Well, for one thing, I'm going to continue to praise him day in and day out. But prior to the pandemic, I was in the greeter ministry, and it's been on my heart to get back in it because, you know, I'm usually on the front door, and I'm one of the first faces that they see. And I feel that I was blessed with a sincere smile and genuine smile. And usually people come in, I greet them, and they feel real good walking to our church. So that's one thing I want to do, to spread the love that I have to others, you know, in church and outside the church.
You know, Ms. J, if I may just commend you on that, because I'll tell you something. I was a little boy in church, and I wasn't the best little boy, you know, kind of mischievous, you know. And we had this lady who was an usher, and she was viewed as a greeter. And I'll never forget her name. I probably was like 7 or 8, and that was Miss Roker. Miss Roker. I thought she was the meanest usher in the world. And she was a, you know, a lady that she just didn't greet you nicely. And so me and some of my other little boys, you know, we just made Miss Roker mad all the time. And she wouldn't let us chew gum in church. So she come, give me that gum, give me that gum, give me that gum. You know, while church is going on and we down there. And so we took a whole pack. We had planned it. We took a whole pack. So when she get our gum, we going to put some more in our mouth and be smacking it just so she could come back. And because she was so mean to us. So, and as an adult, I've attended a church in California, several churches. And one of the things, sometimes I don't go dressed in a three-piece or a two-piece suit, and just to see how the people are going to greet you. And there have been times when no one said hello. They didn't say welcome. Nice to have you visiting. Nice to be here. And I ended up telling this church, after church service, I told the minister, I said, you know, if I weren't part of this faith, and I had come here just to visit, I would never come back to visit your church. Nobody in here knew me, a large church, but not one person said hello. And it wasn't like I was, you know, was smelling or anything like that, forgive my language, but, you know, I had on jeans, a pair of sneakers, and I was clean, but no one said hello. And so after I said that, now the preacher wants to take me around to everybody to introduce me. And it wasn't even that necessary, but I'm just saying, maybe you want to work on that greeting part. And Ms. Roker, oh, my goodness, that lady, we were bad because of the way she treated us. So, Miss Jane, that greeter, I preached from the pulpit a number of times, and I've always said I think it's more important or equally important to be that greeter or that usher. You know, some churches call them greeters, some call them ushers, but the person that you meet at that front door. Because if you're giving me a smile, you know, and especially the little children, because I only went to church when my mom made me go to church. And so, but if Miss Roker had been nice, I would probably wouldn't have been so, I was a leader, you know, planning these things. You know, she's going to get our gum, let's just be smacking. And then we're going to separate. I'm like 7 or 8 and go all over the church so she can find us smacking. And we just did. So thank you for being that greeter with a smile, Miss Jay. I'm telling you. So what would you do, Miss Jay, if the little boy's coming there on the little girls and we smack him and we're bad as daylight? Well, daylight isn't bad, but I'm just saying.
You know, I call him aside and talk to him. I don't talk at him. You know, I just, you know, I get with my post for a minute. I'm just going to talk to him that day. So I let him talk to him, and then you just, you know, usually they're like, yes, ma'am.
I agree. I agree. So in today's time, and see, I want to ask you this. You got parents who, you got this kid pulled to the side, and now you're talking to this kid, even with a smile. What about those parents who come and say, excuse me, what are you saying to my child?
I just said, I said, ma'am, I'm just talking with him. You know, he was chewing gum, and I've just explained to him about, you know, how you might be in a little somebody, you know, they might be trying to meditate on what the pastor's saying and you smack it. Or you might drop it on the furniture that we're spending money for, you know, I can talk to it, but if she get indignant, you know, it is a church in the church. I don't deal with all that.
So what if she's chewing gum?
You know, as greeters, we have a sign.
Okay. Okay.
And if we have issues, you know, we're supposed to put it at the door.
Right.
And if we have issues, you know, we're going to go problem. So, no, that's
going to
be an issue.
Okay, so, Miss Jay, so what if she's chewing gum? She said, leave my kid alone. Okay, I gave him the gum, so leave him alone. He's not doing anything wrong.
Okay, fine. I'm going to let go. And if the ushers come by, the real mean ushers like this, maybe he was talking about it. It's between her and them. I'm going to tell you. I don't deal with them once they get hit the door.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Sir Ben. Let's bring you in here. What do you plan to do for God in the new year, 2024? Or are you already doing it?
I'm already doing it. I don't wait for a specific period of time to come in. Just stay in the place that he's assigned me to do. So I'll ask for increase in whatever I'm doing for him so that I can grow not only in what I'm doing for him, but grow in my own connection to him. So I'm always looking forward to each day is new to me, so I'm excited about each new day.
Amen, amen. You know, and before we go on, I just want to say, you know, I concur with what Sir Ben is saying, and that is I wake up every day and wondering, God, what can I do for someone, you know, every single day? What can I do for you, God? Only what we do for Christ will last. That's what we're told. And it's like, well, God, if I go out here and I do this, if I do that, knowing that I'm far from perfect, but it's like it gives me, you know, I do it. I don't have any expectations of a return, but it just, let me tell you, it just makes you feel good. I mean, I played sports. So football was my favorite sport at the time. And we won at least a couple of championships. And I'll tell you something. I was a quarterback, but I'll tell you something. Going out to do something for someone else gives me that feeling that I had when we won the championship. That's that ovation that you have. It's just like you're so excited. And that's what, when I see people smile on the face, and we had a gentleman that called me this morning from when we went out to pass out the bag. Miss Candlesticks, you were on that conference call. Would you like to share? His name was Joe Bush. Would you like to share? Because you were in on that conference call. And the reason why she was on that conference call was because I wanted her to know, as one of our sponsors, I was talking to her when he called, and I remembered his name. I met him on the street, and he needed a ticket to New Orleans from Atlanta. And he asked me and the other minister that was there, and he said he's a veteran. So what do you recall, if anything, Candlesticks, about the conversation?
Oh, wow. I recall joy. This man was very, very overwhelmed. He was very happy that Dr. Walker and his crew were out there that day, because it was as if he was on his last straw. And I just thank God that Dr. Walker and his crew were there. And not just that they were there, but they sensed the man's urgency and reached out to help him. But he was so overwhelmed that he was saying, like, you know, every other day I'll call you, you know, give you an update on what I'm doing, you know. And he wants to actually come on the show one day to give his testimony on how this team has really helped him move a little closer to the Lord. So it was amazing to hear how excited and happy this young man was.
You know, and I was just so thankful to him for coming on, and just so have my twist over to show Candlesticks. She's one of our sponsors as well, just like many of you all are, to just show her that we're not pretending out here. We're actually doing things for people. And the man even said he was doing something for the church. He's back in New Orleans now, and he was just overwhelmed, just like she said. So these are the things that I want to continue to do for the Lord. Not for show or for name, none of that, but just for the fact that people are needed. I mean, they're in need. Pastor Roll, let's bring you in here and ask you, what do you plan to do for God in the new year?
Well, the thing it is, Dr. Walker, the way that I feel is nothing that I'm not already doing, you know, but just to be more fervent in prayer with this great vision that we have. You know, we now increased to not only 7 countries, but to 8 countries. I mean, that's incredibly awesome. And I can remember, you know, the days that people shared with me about, you know, our mission and things like that. And, I embraced it, become a part. But long story short, so I don't talk too long, is invite, and share. About what we're doing to make a difference and be a catalyst for change in this new year. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
All right. Ms. Malloy, let's bring you in here again and ask you, do you think that God expects us to do something for him?
Oh, boy, here we go. Hallelujah. Hold on.
Amen. When a loaded question, but I'm going to go ahead and do my best. What I believe is that what God wants from us, when we say our due to him, when we choose him to be our Lord and our Savior, and we proclaim him to be our living God, when we say that he is the master of our lives, what God wants is to use us as his instrument, as his willing vessels. He wants, like you said, a cheerful giver. So do I believe that God wants to use us for his glory? Yes. Do I believe that God wants us to willingly surrender to him? Yes. Do I believe that he wants to be the master of our lives according to Psalms 123? Yes, I do. Because when you say, I do to him, it's to be used according to his will. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane surrendered to God. He asked him to allow the cup to pass before him, only if it was his will. So is it his will to use us if he sees it? Yes.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. Ms. Parlette Barnes, would you like to come in?
The young lady that just spoke, I have to say amen, because when we have the attitude that we're doing something for God, actually God is doing something for us. Because he's preparing us to be with him. He's growing us in him. We are to serve others, to grow in love and humility, and not have an attitude of I'm doing this to God. There's no disrespect to your subject matter tonight, but there has to be humility in our doing. And I know the word says, and I can't remember exactly where it is in the Bible, whether you talk about what you do, it is, he doesn't want us to really talk about we're doing something for God, because he does it for us, through other people. We do it for him. We do what we do to be a blessing to others without wanting anything. And I'm not saying anybody that has spoken wants anything, but it's an attitude of walking in the grace, knowing that we have the grace to do, to be a blessing to others.
Right. So, Sister Barnes, let me ask you, so if we're out there, like alone, like the lone soldier out there, male or female, and we're trying to do something for on a mission, for example, and we don't have the funds, necessarily have the funds to make this thing even bigger, then would you say if other people know that you're doing something, that they may want to catch that fever and get on that bandwagon? It's just like Ms. Malloy just said. They didn't, I believe, and correct me, Ms. Malloy, if I'm wrong, I thought she said they didn't have enough Bibles. And the first thing that came to my mind, because she has introduced this, to get with one of my team members, Sparkles, who does a lot of our background work, and say, with Ms. Malloy's permission, give her the number, her number, so that they can communicate to see how we can help. So my question to you, Ms. Barnes, is if you're out there in a solo mission and you don't have the funds to get it done, is it okay to announce that, listen, I'm out here doing this? You're not doing it for, I mean, the humility is there, but you could use some help. Do you think that that's okay to do, in your opinion?
Yes, it's all right to ask for help. The attitude is all I'm talking about, is that we have to have an attitude of humility, because God is working through us to be a blessing to others.
Yes.
We don't want to get caught up in ourselves, that we are doing something. God is doing something through us. And I've had the experience of not having anything and running across someone. And it's just me acknowledging that they exist. Because people recognize, when people are indigent, they see you clearer than you see yourself. Because they're out there on the streets and they have to be keenly aware. They're walking in a level of spirituality where they read us well.
Mm-hmm.
They recognize our sincerity. And that is a blessing to them as well.
Amen, amen. We're going to ask you to stand by. So, Ben, we got some scenarios I want to share with you all tonight, and all these scenarios are inspired by true events. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in. And, sir, if you all ever hear me going overboard about what we're doing, it's not about any ego for me. That's the furthest thing from my mind. In fact, I try to take a back seat to some of the things because I don't ever really – instead of me ever trying to make it about what I'm doing, I try to make it about what we're doing as a team of individuals, all of you on sponsorships, because I can't do this here by myself. And I pray that God would send me the right team, and he has. And we're growing with the team that he's given us. So, Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here. Sir Ben, what if you're out there, and you know you're in that field, you're trying to do, and you're trying to increase, you know, like the prayer of Jabez, increase my territory. Wouldn't you feel that you might need other people to get on that bandwagon to just help where they can, even if it's just a word of encouragement? It's not always about the money, but talk to us about that.
Well, I have learned learned in life that we have not because we ask not. And so I'm going to also explain that in another area too. When God is giving you an assignment, your concern should not be about what other people think or what they say, because he gave it to you. That means he knew enough about you that you could handle the assignment. You know what my assignment is after all. I've been doing that for a while now. I have been finding out over the months and years that there are other people who are taking what I do and forwarding and passing it on to other people, which means that what I've been doing has been multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied without me even knowing it. And so it doesn't really matter to me that people coming from me that I know, because everything in time will be revealed. And so when I get people on the street I run into and I introduce myself, they go, oh, yeah, I get your messages. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I don't know you. But they know someone that knows someone that knows me. And when you get 3, 4, 5 different people who are now duplicating what I've done, then that means that you're having an increase because God is increasing it. All it takes is just a I'm a farmer. I plant seeds. I don't even water the seeds. I just plant them. And somebody else comes and waters. Somebody else comes and kills it. Somebody else comes and cultivates it. Somebody else comes and puts fertilizer on it. I'm just a planter. And so my job is just plant. And I'm okay with my job.
Okay. So, Sir Ben, let me ask you, are there times when maybe you have felt personally that because you're trying to do good, you're trying to do a mission for God, that you have run into stumbling blocks with people from jealousy or envy, but it doesn't stop you, but you just wonder why? Because that human element in all of us can show up and you wonder, I thought I was doing something good. Why are these people giving me a hard time? I've certainly crossed that path a number of times. Sir Ben, talk to me.
So a close friend of mine at a church that I used to attend, he asked me to come and help put together a summer camp for immigrant children. The children didn't have anywhere to go in the summer, latchkey kids, whatever you want to call it. And so I went on board with him because he's a dear friend of mine. And so they had gone out a couple of times trying to recruit different families and kids and had no real success. They had about, 8, 9, maybe 10, 6 at the most for the first year or so we were there. And so I said, oh, no, we got to get, because the goal was to get 50. So I said, oh, no, we got to go get some more kids. And so I saw myself just running into kids 4, 5, one family had 6. And just every day I was bringing in 6 to 8 new kids. So by the end of the week, we had close to 50. Do you know that they called me up and said, oh, please, don't bring no more kids because it's just too much, it's too overwhelming. And I'm like, well, how can you have plans for 50? You're opening close to 50 and I'm like, oh, well, I just didn't understand that. But that's how we are as people. We have ideas of brand. Group of 10, 9, 13, 6, 7. They had been harassing me the whole day. We're all Christians, just, you know. Okay. So we were leaving, and we stayed an hour later than usual. So we were walking out the door. Lo and behold, as we get outside the door, guess who walks around the corner? This particular lady.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have a purse. She didn't have a phone. She didn't have anything. She was, and this is a restaurant. So, you know, most women don't go anywhere without a phone or a purse. But she was just there. And it's funny because we had just got through talking about that just before we got up and walked away. My exact words were, I'm not worried about that because God has already taken care of that for me. And to walk outside and see her, she walked up to me, embracing me, and said, I love you, Dan, and don't worry about a thing. And my response was, I'm not, and I love you too. And all these other gentlemen with their big-headed mouths and ears and eyes who had everything to say before we were about to have the restaurant were standing there in awe because God always moves in a place where somebody's got to be a witness to what he's doing. And they didn't even know what to say. What I'm saying is, yes, we do have these types of situations, but we have to operate with the confidence that when we speak, and I'll say it boldly, when we speak, God is not only hearing us, he's already prepared for that great testimony in our lives, not just for us, not just for the other people, but for the witnesses, because we got a lot of people who got a good talk, but ain't got no good faith.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Candlesticks, I want to bring you in here, and Ms. Jay, with the same question here. In today's times, which has been over the last probably 20 years or more, with the issue of sexual harassment, even with ministers, you know, some ministers can be friendly, over-friendly in some cases, and people are always looking to throw rocks sometimes. And sometimes, perhaps, some accusations may be valid, but then there are those that may not be based on any merits of any kind. But just to put a blemish out there. So let me begin with Candlesticks and ask the question, what happens when a man in today's times hugs a woman? You know, in a lot of the churches, they hug each other, like brothers and sisters. Hey, sister, I haven't seen you. You know, whether they're married or not, they're hugging. This is how I grew up. So, I mean, for someone to say, let's just say a brother of yours, a biological brother or your companion, a woman accuses him of hugging her inappropriately, and you know that's not his character. How would you deal with that, you know, when we're dealing with church folks?
How would I deal with that in reference to who?
Well, someone that said that about your companion, that your husband, oh, by the way, I didn't like her. Huh?
Okay, someone said that my husband, a female said that my husband
yes.
hugged him inappropriately.
Yes.
And
you know that's not his character, but you weren't there.
First of all, I would apologize to her for that, for my husband, and you know, let her know that if you felt uncomfortable, then I feel like at the time you should have also let him know. And then I will not even ask him, my husband, because I don't even believe that he would do that. But I would even suggest to him that he would apologize to her because sometimes we offend people and don't know it. We don't know it. And the only way that we're going to know if we offend someone is if they say something about it. Because his gesture was friendly, but to her it was offensive. So then he needed to apologize to her.
Okay, so by you apologizing, see, I heard two things here. One, you say you would apologize to her, but then you say you wouldn't even, you know, you might mention it to your husband, but you know that that's not his character. So why apologize instead of, you know, further inquiring? You know, it's almost like the apology almost, I mean, just in my mind, sends an inference that it could have happened.
Well, see, I can't think for anybody. But I know that experiences that happen to me, not necessarily in this type of manner, but like I said, my gestures and everything were good, but the other person took it a different way. So therefore, why would I want to make a big stink over something when I can just apologize and move on? Because I know within my heart that I didn't do anything wrong, but I don't know in that person's heart whether they took it wrong. So, you know, I will be the bigger person.
All right. We're going to ask you.
And in my mind, I would always know in my mind, God sees and he hears everything.
Okay.
Period.
And chances are your husband would never even hug that woman again in his life. I'm telling you.
He probably would not. To be truthful, I don't even know if my husband would go and apologize because he knew that he didn't do anything wrong.
Exactly.
It would be me wanting him to apologize
yeah.
just to make this lady feel less uncomfortable.
Right.
But like you say, he would never say anything to her ever again.
Right. So let me go to Ms. J, before you come in with that same scenario, I want to go to Ms. Malloy. Ms. Malloy, let's paint a picture here. Say a 20-year-old male, okay? 20-year-old male, innocent. You know, I know a lot of young men who, raised by their mother, are really well-groomed. And this 20-year-old male, you know, doesn't have any harmful intent. One of the older ladies hugs him, and she feels, I mean, she was pretty fresh with him. I've had that happen to me. As a young man, the older women, you know, and it's happened to my two sons. And it's like, whoa, that don't seem right. So, Ms. Malloy, let me ask you, what approach, if any, when we're trying to do something for the Lord just by being friendly, fellow worshipers, or to just give people a hug, What if anything, would you tell the young men of today or the young women?
Well, first of all, there's, you know, the Word of God says greet one another with an holy kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've trained my son to do. One is the care, how he's careful. And he does side hugs. There is no frontal hugging. So there's no confusion. And the other thing is that he's very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so a lot of times children have discernment. A lot of times they're innocent, but you have to train them how to be appropriate. Another way that I trained him, he does not greet men that way. But it is, he'll reach out his hand, he'll extend, and he's learned to do the bro hug. But when he's dealing with a woman, he also will extend his hand so that there's something between them. But 9 times out of 10, my son does a side hug, or he'll stand sideways. I don't know how else to say it, but it's a shoulder to shoulder. And he'll say, hey, and he'll reach out and he'll pull back. He's never had anyone approach him inappropriately because he's always maintained that side hug. And therefore, there was no confusion. So, and that's what I taught the young women in the group we used to deal with because I love youth. So that's one of the biggest things that we teach them. And just to go a step further, you know, not to bring in the world, but there was even a clip with Bernie Mac and how they tried to have him have his TV family pose for a picture. And even in the photos, he was wise enough that when they tried to put the young boy and say sit on his lap, he said, mm-mm.
Oh, my.
He goes to the other side, and he goes, no, mm-mm, he's good. He's too big. He'll sit on the side. Because there's a way and a decorum and a way that we should carry ourselves. And even in that little small clip, he knew it was inappropriate for the young daughter to how she sat and where they tried to sit her between his legs. He turned her around and pushed the seat over. and he told her to turn around and face forward. The other young girl sat to the side, and the young boy, he said, you said no, because he knows how to deal with other people's children.
Yeah.
And so there's a decorum that we teach them. And one thing I've always taught my son is if you're not comfortable, don't do it.
Right, absolutely. That is really brilliant, because I have four kids, two boys, two girls, and even when my kids were growing up, I would sit them on my thigh. You see what I'm saying? My thigh. And their mother was certainly okay with that, you know, but by the time they got to be five, I'm like, y'all too heavy now, okay? But just on my leg. And I would never allow my kids to sit in anyone's lap or even on their leg, male or female. I just, you know, I think we have to guard our kids. Ms. Shea, let me bring you in here. Ms. Shea, why is that so important, even when it comes to we thinking we're doing the right thing for the fellowship of our brothers and sisters? Why is it so important that we protect our kids?
You know, I agree with the Lord was saying. That's basically what I was going to say. It's a way to hug. It's a way to embrace. It's a way for your younger kids to be with, you know, strangers or even family members, because harassment can come so easily, the wrong and treacher, the misunderstanding, and for everybody to stay safe, you know, that's the way you do to teach your young one or whoever the correct way to, you know, to greet someone physical like that. And usually a lot of this stuff is misunderstood, like this harassment thing you was talking about. And I would not apologize to the lady, but I would definitely ask my husband to apologize, because I'm sure he would anyway, because it was misunderstood, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope that my husband wouldn't be hugging those strange women close to her, you know, because we all be talking, you know, I'm sure that we have talked about that. So it's good for everybody to learn at an early age the appropriate way to greet someone physical like that, and to train your kids. That's very important.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let's go to Ms. Barnes. Ms. Paulette Barnes, I want to bring you in with one of the scenarios here where a person out here, one of the elders in the church, him and his wife, she's the head deaconess, and the man is the head elder of the church. So this is a couple. But they talk about everything that they do for the Lord, and they always make what I call the I me syndrome. Everything that comes out, oh, well, me and my wife do this here. My wife and I do this. My husband and I do this. And they try to make it always about themselves, and they don't give credit to anybody else. You know, and they're not well-off couples, but they're just, you know, average folks with making average money, but they're helping in the community. But they do it for show. They do it for show. They buy the nicest cars for show, and they're really in debt. And I know these stories, countless stories like this. So my question becomes, I mean, are they really doing it for God or for self-glory, in your opinion? Or can we really judge them?
I'm not going to judge them, because even if you do, I'm not judging me for what I drive or for what I wear. Unless I know those people well enough to know where they're coming from. Because I have friends, we all have friends, and we hear them talk, and if they're talking in a way that shows that they're I, and they're doing it for show, if you have that kind of relationship, you just call them out on it. But if you don't have that kind of relationship, you just pray for them and know that the Lord will work it out in them.
All right. We're going to ask you something about Pastor Rose. People talk about egos. If you have someone that every time they got up and they talked about themselves and what they're doing, they have the I-me syndrome, how would you approach someone if you were the minister of the church and one of your elders was doing this on a regular routine basis, and someone else called it out to your attention? How would you approach that?
Well, you know, when we say ego, I look at ego as meaning edging God out. You know, it's all about me, you know, that syndrome, you know, and not about God. we had said, you know, early in the program, only one life, you know, what you plan on doing for God, you know, in the new year. And I just say only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Not me, 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 that syndrome. It's all about Christ and making a difference. And not, you know, pointing the finger. When you point the finger at one person, you got three coming back at you, you know. So it's not about you. It's what making a difference and what we can do to support and help others. So that's the way that I see that, and greeting one another. I'm very careful with the way I greet people. You know, I just I try to make the next 10 seconds, stick my hand out and warmly, you know, but to embrace a person, unless it's, you know, a family member, something like that, and you watch how close you embrace people, not where your chest touches her breast, you know, that can be perceived, you know, in a negative way. So that's my thoughts on that without taking up much time. Dr. Walker, back to you.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Joyce, do we have you on the line? Ms. Joyce? Okay, perhaps we don't. She's just listening in. Let's go to Suzanne. Suzanne, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Suzanne, let me ask you the question. Suzanne, what do you plan to do for God in the new year, 2024? What do you plan to do for God in the new year, if anything? Or are you already doing it?
Well, I do my daily devotional and praise Him first thing in the morning. I'm just going to continue studying His Word more and more, starting with the beginning of the Bible. And
Okay, excellent, Suzanne. So let me reverse this now, and let me start with Sir Ben. Sir Ben, let me ask you, what, if anything, would you want God to do for you in the new year, if anything?
Dr. Walker, I want God to increase the love inside of me so that it glows like the love that He's given us. I want to be so kind and loving and respectful and a representative of Him that when I even walk past people and leave them with an indelible spirit of kindness and love, I want to be more loving. I want to operate in love. I want to be that kind of man that's respectful, not dishonorable, just a good, good, loving, kind person. That's what I
want to increase. Beautiful, beautiful. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Casserole, let's go to you. What, if anything, would you like God to do for you in 2024?
Well, you know, to become more passionate and what we're doing to undergird and fulfill your vision and to share with others. And one thing that I do know, Dr. Walker, that you are a certified counselor. You know, you don't find very many programs, you know, that people advocate or promote where the leader is certified, you know. And I would try to, you know, if people have certain problems, because we're all about relationship restoring and building relationships, is when it comes to really perfecting and dotting the I's and crossing the T's, you know, you are certified, and we should, you know, share, you know, with others. You know, well, we have a counselor, a certified counselor, Dr. Walker, and he can help you with most any problems that you, concerns that you might have, and you can, you know, you contact him, just call him between 9 and 9, you know, by calling 786-399-6111. 786-399. We're all working together, and you are our leader, and you are certified to give people advice. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Well, I appreciate that, Pastor Roland. I think we're all leaders here because I certainly look up to each and every one of you all. I can call on any one of you all in your areas of certification as well. It's just, you know, I don't think anything that I have is so special that nobody else could have. I mean, we've got a powerful team out here, and there's no way I could do any of this by myself. So, Pastor Rose, the question was, what would you like God to do for you in 2024? What would you like him to do for you?
I would like to have even a greater anointing, you know, to share. I've been with you about three years, you know, and I love it, you know, because we come up with different subjects and things that with problems that people are going through, and we provide solutions. You know, I just love the comments that Ricky to the rescue. You know, like you said, we got leaders, you know, and, you know, different people, Sheila Faith and our new person that just came on, Candlelight, and, you know, we got a great team here. You know, and we can always, all of us can work together to make a difference. You know, so to answer your question is to become more passionate, and I can only do that through prayer, with sharing people, you know, about Thursday, Friday, and every other Saturday with different subjects that we have can make a difference. So I'm not wasting my time on this team because it encourages me. You know, I don't have it all, but I'm inspired by everybody and our closers, and we just got great people, Sister Marjorie, Ricky to the Rescue, Sheila Faith, and, you know, just a great team.
Yeah.
But you are our leader. You are
our
leader.
I think we're all leaders. I think we are all leaders.
You are our leader of.
Yeah. But thank you for that, Pastor. So, let's see. I'd like God to, I've got this test coming up in February, the 27th and 28th, and I'm asking God to please let me pass this test because I've been out there three attempts. So I'm asking him to do that because I want to dedicate the entire career of passing this exam to him. I'm not even looking at for money or anything. So I'm asking him to allow me to pass this test coming up in February. And I promise to dedicate it all to him and do more mission work based on what he's blessed me with to increase that territory of that. Ms. Malloy, let's go to you real quick. We're running out of time. What would you like God to do for you in 2024, if anything?
I don't want to I want God to do what he sees fit for me because when I go on my own, when I do what I think I want, it's not right. So this year I just asked him to break any old negative and repetitive pattern in me that stopped me from being used to the fullest by God. And that's what I want so that I can do what he needs me to do. That's where I'm at.
That is absolutely brilliant. That is absolutely beautiful. Ms. J, we're just about out of time. We've got about five more minutes. What, if anything, would you like God to do for you in 2024?
Well, I know y'all hear me talk about my husband a lot, but today, 10 years ago, my husband passed today, 10 years ago. And I've been heartbroken for a long time, but now I'm finding myself due to God. And I want him to keep blessing me with that desire to do his will and to continue to say yes to and with the ability to do the things that I need to do for his purpose that he put me here. And that's what I've been striving these past couple of years, and that's how I want to be continued to bless, to continue to do his will and his purpose.
Okay, excellent. Let's see who we've got. Candlestick. You were candlelight earlier, but your candlesticks. So what would you like God to do for you in the new year, if anything?
Yes, there is something. I would like for God to show me my sins so that I will be able to confess them and I will see exactly who I am and not to be a pretender so that I can be used by him.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Ms. Barnes, let's go to Ms. Paulette Barnes. What would you like God to do for you, if anything, in
2024? He showed me. God never healed anybody that didn't know that they were sick.
saying, Lord, I need to know what it is that I am doing or not doing, what I'm thinking. And I realized that I have to be grounded and intentional in my faith and not allow my emotions to get me off track. That I grow in the Lord and be open and vulnerable to grow in Him. Show me so that I can repent and do those things that I need to do to continue to grow in the Lord and have an attitude of gratitude.
Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful. That was beautifully stated. Did I miss anyone? If you, I did, please come on in and say something.
Let me know, Dr. Walker. This is Cassandra and everyone. God bless you all. I just got in. And I thank and praise God for all what he's doing and what he has done. And I do agree with both the last two speakers that God will continue to show us all, you know, who we are in him and, you know, where he's taking us to, and that we be obedient and willing to follow his lead. Amen. And as leaders, to continue to be humble, that we may be able to lead. Because if we can't be humble and follow his lead and his guidance, amen, we can't lead anyone else. So we do have to be humble and patient. So much is going on that we do need patience as well. God bless you all.
Amen. Ms. Cassandra, thank you for sharing that with us. Anyone else before we come off the air? You got about another minute that we may have missed. If that be the case, we'll get ready to close.
Walker, I just want to say my hat's off to the Demon Slayer and also Sister Jay. I know she's going through a lot in the loss of her husband, but she has been a great, and Demon Slayer, a great blessing to our Blog Talk community.
Yes, thank you for that, Pastor Rose. She certainly has. Ms. Jay, you are a personal pillar of strength. I'm very encouraged by you. We talk off the air oftentimes, and I'm praying with you as well, and you're a pillar of strength for so many people, and I see God using you in so many ways as he's used you to inspire so many of us on these programs. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Amen.
Listen, tomorrow we're going to have our message. Will be presented to us by Attorney Marilyn Leslie Malloy. You've heard her on the air tonight. She's going to be bringing the message tomorrow morning. The title is God Is the Same as Yesterday, Today, and 2024. She's going to be bringing us an inspirational word, and you don't want to miss that. So the program starts at 6:30. She will come on about between 10 minutes to 8 and 8 o'clock on this platform, the 520-525-8882. And Ms. Jay, thank you for bringing that number back to my remembrance. Listen, we're out. Listen, we're out of time now. I want to thank all of you all for taking time out to be with us this evening. It's been a true blessing this evening. I want to just say I hope to that you'll join us tomorrow morning for tomorrow morning's program. If you choose to bypass tomorrow morning's program, we certainly wish from all of us here, wish all of you all a very happy and prosperous and healthy new year. When it comes in, and I just want to encourage everybody, call somebody and just, you know, remind them that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you. So that's a powerful thing. And just love on somebody, you all. Please just love on somebody in the right way. And, of course, if you choose to be here tomorrow morning, we look forward to your coming in tomorrow morning starting at 6:30. And if you choose to bypass that, we'll see you back next Thursday for the Dr. Just Walk Show and next Friday for your one-hour inspirational program. Until then, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Good night. God bless you all. God bless you, Mr. Good night.